You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Here we are, a new week here, going into the championship games. AFC, NFC, they are set. The four teams left trying to get to Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles. Hint, that includes a team from Los Angeles. So, breaking it down, what a weekend it was. Saturday was excellent there with the Bengals upsetting the Titans there on the road. And then you had another exciting game in the NFC. So it was just so much fun. And then we capped it off with an NFC thriller there between the Buccaneers and the Rams. And we closed it all there with the Chiefs-Bills game. There are no words to describe what we saw transpire between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. It was just a thing of beauty. So Packers lose. You have the Buccaneers lose. Those are the top two seeds in the NFC. You have the top-seeded Titans losing in the AFC. So a lot of surprising fantasy football results. We were pleased with some of the things that we were looking into there ahead of the weekend, Saturday and Sunday's games. We will look ahead and break down the championship games in full. We'll do that here on a couple shows there. We'll do a double dose of matchups there. Matchup Wednesday, matchup Thursday, as we always do. So we'll save those games, do a full preview for both the games. And we know what they are now. In the NFC, it's going to be the 49ers at the Rams, a rematch of two games in the regular season. The 49ers swept that season series. And then the Chiefs-Bengals. This is a rematch of a game in Cincinnati in Week 17 that the Bengals rallied to win 34-31. So a couple rematches here on the docket. So we'll break these games down for you. You can look at the winners and losers in these games and what you need to take away, either going into the next round or going into what will be a long offseason ahead, no doubt. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available for you on all platforms. So let's start the show here, breaking down what we have here between the Bengals and Titans. The Bengals outlast the Titans 19-16 in this one. And a field goal at the end, an interception by Ryan Tannehill, his third of the game, sets up an Evan McPherson field goal. He had ice water in his veins. It was cold in Tennessee, but the rookie there from Florida nails four field goals, so not exactly what we're looking for fantasy football awesomeness. But Joe Burrow, touchdownless, and it was very interesting set of games there. Ryan Tannehill had the lone touchdown pass to A.J. Brown among the four quarterbacks in action there between Joe Burrow, Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Aaron Rodgers. So one of those days that wasn't great for offense. All teams scoring less than 20 points. That definitely changed there on Sunday with a couple of shootouts there with the GOAT and Patrick Mahomes in action. So let's look at the Bengals. Big game for Ja'Marr Chase. We liked him quite a bit. We also liked T. Higgins. We recommended him in DFS. We also tried to get Joe Mixon in some lineups. Unfortunately, Burrow touchdownless. He played really well in reality, but Mixon ended up with the pay dirt there. Good games there overall for Chase and Higgins. So it turned out, right, if you played the Saturday slate, Ryan Tannehill was your best quarterback option. That's not great. It's given he threw three interceptions. So quarterback wasn't winning a lot of things. So you need to look at the extra positions there. Mixon was a good value. We really liked A.J. Brown. He came through big time for us on the other side for the Titans. He was a no-brainer to lock into the lineup there. And his price point, we talked about that in DFS. The matchup was really good. He's just a really talented player. So he was able to get downfield against his Bengals secondary. Made a great one-handed touchdown catch in double coverage. That was Tannehill's by far best throw of the night there. So Ja'Marr Chase, we knew that the Bengals would get going if they could throw the ball and have time. That was the biggest issue. They had nine sacks given up there to the Titans. So they were all over Joe Burrow. But when he had a little bit of time, could get the ball into the open field to Chase, get a little bit downfield to T. Higgins. He also used C.J. Uzama at tight end and the slot receiver Tyler Boyd in a couple key spots there. So good overall for the Bengals. I think they'll have a much more productive passing game. They're going to have to with Mahomes and the Chiefs on the docket here again for the second time since week 17. Big points definitely could be put up here for the team. So it's going to be a rebound situation for sure. I mean, you look at the scores, much different there. So two really low-scoring games on the under side here on Saturday. But Burrow's going to be fine. Mixon did exceed expectations. If you pivoted to Mixon there over the Bengals passing game, we were happy. But then Higgins and Chase and Brown all came through this one. For the Titans, Derrick Henry, we told you, was a bit buyer beware. We did to get Dante Foreman in some lineups, and he was pretty productive. He was actually the leading rusher. Derrick Henry was a little bit more productive because he did get the short touchdown, was stuffed there in the two-point conversion, which could have given us more points. And then in the end, their Titans ran Derrick Henry on third and one. He got stuffed, and then Ryan Tannehill also couldn't get going. So, again, we knew Derrick Henry could be a bit of a grind here. That's why we liked Foreman at his price point in some matchups. So the Bengals, however, move on. The Titans have some big question marks. Do they feel comfortable with Ryan Tannehill? Are they going to bring Julio Jones back here as a complimentary inside receiver, basically what he turned to at the end? Are they going to upgrade a tight end here? They got to get some help to A.J. Brown. Julio Jones is only limited there. I don't think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is going to see a prominent role in this team. So a lot of question marks in the past game, starting with, again, should they draft Tannehill's successor? I think he has one good year left on the contract before they can get out of that deal. So Tannehill getting a little older, 34, 35, pushing that here soon. So that's going to be the big question mark. The Bengals move on. They're happy about their offense. It's going to be set for a long time with Higgins and Chase and Boyd and Burrow bringing it all together and Joe Mixon. It'll break up in a little bit, but I think you have a few more years with these guys here in Cincinnati to make it work. Tennessee might have to reconsider here. The run-heavy approach and the number one seed and the defense and physical and all that, it still cost them a game. They didn't score enough points here by far, even though they contained the Bengals there with the four field goals for Burrow. So Bengals-Titans, a good appetizer to what we saw. We thought that was a thrilling game there, having a quick turn and field there in the end to allow the Bengals to break the tie. But it was just the beginning of a big, big weekend. And the 49ers Packers, not a lot in fantasy, but we'll break that down for you there in our next segment, as well as what we saw in that first game between the Rams and Buccaneers. So the two NFC games will hit next. It's the new year. That means New Year's resolutions. If you're about getting fit, make sure that you're including Built Bar in your plan to get healthier. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I think it even tastes better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill, you want to eat healthy, but it gets so boring. By February, March, you'll be thinking, where's all the chocolate in my diet here? Well, Built Bars are going to give you that because they're covered in 100% chocolate. Most of Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare to a candy bar, which can have around 240 calories, 30 grams sugar, and tons of net carbs. So here's an idea for the new year. Get rid of all those junky snacks you have there that aren't good for you. You're trying to do better with health, and replace them all with Built Bars. You'll get the 100% chocolate covered flavor there, and you'll also do something that's good for you. And even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is great for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar on the go or sitting down, you can almost count it as a workout. And there's so many flavors you can choose from, cookies and cream and coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, just to name a few. The only way you can get it on Built Bar is you have to go to Built.com and also have to check out what are the new flavors. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, we will continue Roundup Monday here, looking back on what happened in the Wild and Woolly Championship pre-weekend here in the divisional round. So we'll look at the Rams, the 49ers and Rams and their results here. Rams played the Bucs on Sunday. Before we get into that, it'll be the 49ers Packers. And I do have to tell you, something big is happening on the network. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. The Peacock and Williamson NFL Show podcast is going on the road to LA for Super Week. Follow the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show today to get the most comprehensive coverage of the big game. It's free and available to you on all platforms. All right, time to continue breaking down these divisional playoff games. 13-10, not a lot to see here to the 49ers-Packers. The Packers got an early touchdown from A.J. Dillon. That was the only score they got. The 49ers score came on special teams. There's Talua Fufanaga from USC, a safety backup playing on special teams. They blocked a punt. They blocked a field goal early in the game. The attempt by Mason Crosby. So the 49ers went on special teams. Not a lot to see offensively here. So that's their only touchdown. They get a couple field goals, including the game winner late by Robbie Gould on a very snowy field, very cold and hard field. It was 12 degrees or so during the game. So, yeah, weather affects things. And unfortunately, the Packers don't play in a dome. And Aaron Rodgers and friends just didn't come through. Devontae Adams had a good receiving yardage game. He had a nice, great combined yardage game from Aaron Jones, especially with A.J. Dillon leaving in the middle of the game with a chest injury after he had scored the first touchdown and only touchdown for the Packers. So, big decisions here. Aaron Jones locked in. Do they make it more of a committee next year with A.J. Dillon? We know they're going to be concerned about Aaron Rodgers returning or not. Devontae Adams is a free agent. So is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They've got some issues there with Equanimeous St. Brown. Alan Lazard is a restricted free agent, so they got to think about that because Lazard really didn't show up here this game. And it's really unfortunate. We really liked Lazard and DFS for the reasons that the 49ers secondary was a little bit weak away from Emmanuel Mosley, and they were going to put all their attention on Adams. And you also didn't have Ambry Thomas play, their kid from Michigan here. So you thought, okay, it was great. K'Wan Williams, they're not in a big role for the 49ers, but Lazard just was disappearing from the game plan. Not a lot there going on. They targeted the tight ends a little bit. You had the fumble by Mercedes Lewis in the game. So it's very sloppy offensive performance by the Packers, except for Aaron Jones. And we like Dillon a lot. If we know Dillon had been hurt in the game, we would have gone more to Aaron Jones and liked him in the lineup. But again, tough decisions all around. The first one starts with, does Rodgers want to return? And does Rodgers leaving prompt Devontae Adams not to want to be there? I don't know if it's his choice because the Packers can use the franchise tag on him. But look, you have a few principles here. We know from week to week, it's the big three of Rodgers, Adams, and Jones. This year expanded to a flex RB2 without A.J. Dillon and his usage here for the Packers. So a lot of interesting things that the Packers need to figure out here going into 2022 in the season. It starts with, will he or won't he with Rodgers wanting to be happy in Green Bay? Did the contract adjustment / extension do it for him? Does he need them to make sure they get Adams taken care of, address maybe the offensive line a little bit more, address wide receiver, get Robert Tonyan locked up as now an unrestricted free agent here this year. So a lot of things that Aaron Rodgers probably wants the Packers to do as a three-time in a row 13-win team to stay there. So we'll wait and see there, but the Packers could be dramatically different should Rodgers leave, because I think you'll look at Adams also not wanting to be there, maybe a tag and trade deal or him just walking in free agency period to where Rodgers might be going. Now, with the 49ers, they move on. Deebo Samuel, what can you say about Deebo Samuel other than he's special? And when he's healthy, he was a dominant force. He was here, even though they didn't score a touchdown with him. Rushing, receiving, we also love that he grinded it through. He was kind of banged up like Dillon was in this game, but he kept going and going. George Kittle had a pretty decent game, given the weather circumstances. Made some great catches in reality. Not as much as we want in fantasy. Brandon Ayuk was kind of out of the game plan here for much of the game. They had Jair Alexander, however, return here, so that probably had something to do with it. There in the secondary, you also had Za'Darius Smith wreaking havoc up front with Rashawn Gary. So not a lot to see with Garoppolo. So they grinded it out. Elijah Mitchell was a bit of a tough game for him. He had a good red zone run that got spoiled there by his face mask penalty. So, yeah, just a game that we want to forget there. But the 49ers Packers, again, disappointing in terms of what we wanted for the production of these two offenses. When they met last time, it was 30-28. Drastically different here in the weather conditions. So that's what you have to be aware of when you're playing DFS or just mini fantasy football leagues at this time of year. Weather can have a big part, and they definitely did that in this game. All right, the other NFC game we'll break down here for you, Rams-Buccaneers. We feel like the Bills-Chiefs game needs its own segment, and we'll give it just that in the final segment. But Rams-Buccaneers is also pretty wild. I thought that was going to be the game of the day. The first two games were pretty awesome, the way they ended, the walk-off field goals by McPherson and Gold. This one ends up as a walk-off field goal game by Matt Gay, but that is bearing the lead here. It was Tom Brady almost leading another epic comeback here. They were down 27-3. midway through the third quarter, the Buccaneers came all the way back to tie it, but then they decided to blitz Matthew Stafford, leave Cooper Kupp in very favorable one-on-one coverage and a couple plays, quickly gets in the field game range, and the Rams score and win the game by 3 here. So Matthew Stafford, 2 playoff victories there this year when he didn't have any, and 2 tries with the Lions. So good for that offense to break through a little bit here. And they had also a young tight end named Blanton score, so he was in the end zone. So that was disappointing if you had Tyler Higbee or any of the other receivers, but they took care of it. The Stafford was on point in this game for sure, and Kupp was a big part of what he did. Kupp, unfortunately, lost a fumble that got the Buccaneers kind of back in the game. Then there was that weird snap that the Bucs jumped on. That was after a Tom Brady turnover. They turned it over right back. So a lot of things seemed to be aligning there for the Buccaneers to complete the comeback, but they decided to blitz, play aggressive coverage with Todd Bowles and single there to try to pressure Stafford to mistakes, and they got burned big time with Kupp getting beyond the defense. So Kupp, we'll see. This could be the last run for Kupp. Keep in mind, he's going into his age 29 season. He's had a major knee injury in his past. So this is the max, probably. I don't think it's going to be easy to duplicate his numbers there. I mean, Robert Woods coming back will help. We'll see about Odell Beckham Jr. He's a free agent. But Odell has been pretty good as a complimentary player. Tyler Higbee as well stepped up a little bit. Van Jefferson's star is kind of faded here. He did get a little bit more action here in this game, but Carlton Davis inexplicably was on him for much of this game, and that didn't make sense because Van Jefferson is not Odell Beckham Jr. or Cooper Kupp. What we saw with Kupp is not only was it the big play at the end of the game, but it was a big play early in the first half that set the tone, a 70-yard touchdown where just a complete coverage breakdown by the Bucs. So it was a very sloppy game for Todd Bowles' defense. They did force some turnovers that got the Bucs back in the game, but again, blitzing these type of quarterbacks, putting pressure, creating some easy matchups is really the worst way to go than saying we're going to play coverage and make it tough to find places to put the ball on. That's kind of the diversity of these two defenses. The Buccaneers were aggressive. The Rams were flooding and making sure Tom Brady had to hold the ball, playing coverage a lot in this game. Tom Brady finally found other guys there like Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller to make it work. But overall, again, missing Chris Godwin, missing Antonio Brown, I think caught up with the Buccaneers. So big question marks. Chris Godwin is a free agent. Antonio Brown is not coming back. We know that. They got to figure out if they want to bring back O.J. Howard. Does Rob Gronkowski retire here independent of Tom Brady, or is his fate tied to Tom Brady? Dom said he was non-committal to returning here. So a lot of question marks there for the Bucs. But Kupp and the Rams just destroyed them. Now with the Bucs, Leonard Fournette, also a free agent, as well as Giovanni Bernard and Ronald Jones. So they're going to have to make some decisions in the backfield, maybe the cheaper option there to return. We'll see if Godwin and Fournette can return in this offense. These are two things we're looking for. Ryan Jensen, the center, is 33. He's a free agent, so that's a bit of a concern. Tristan Wirfs coming off the tough ankle injury this game. So a lot of things to see here with the Bucs going into the offseason. Wirfs really cost them because it took one key pass protector out. They were struggling inside. Brady had some pressure in his face in this game. And again, not having the reliable receivers beyond Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski hurt. So Evans did see a lot of Jalen Ramsey, but credit Tom Brady for seeing the cushions and getting the ball to Evans when he needed it in the second half. Evans had that nice long bomb touchdown as well for the Bucs. So Mike Evans is just a special receiver. And if he has to go solo without Godwin, I think Evans can have a big year if there's no Godwin and Brady's still in town. Gronk, again, we'll see. He's going to be 33 here, getting a little older. Maybe he's done here. He's given it a good go here with his buddy Brady. So a lot of question marks in the offseason for the Buccaneers. It broke down quite a bit at sportingnews.com. So figuring out the backfield, figuring out the wide receiver core. Will they draft a wide receiver? In fact, I had them taking Jahan Dotson of Penn State. He's a big play threat there. Helps replace Brown, maybe offset the possibility of Godwin leaving. So a lot of question marks there definitely for the Bucs going into 2020, starting with will Brady return? The Rams move on. Good story for OBJ playing off Cooper Kupp. Higbee kind of waking up a little bit in the playoffs, as well as their tight end play in general. Cam Akers is the question mark here. He had a couple fumbles. Will that cost him here a job? And at least for the short term, he's a special running back, we know, but just coming off an Achilles, hadn't played in a while, maybe a bit rusty. there in ball protection and security and all that. So we'll have to see if that's a pivot. Sonny Michel was very effective. We'll see what they feel about Daryl Henderson going forward. But Henderson's not coming back here, so it'll be interesting to see Akers versus Michel, how they want to go, given Michel was very productive this year. Remember, the first matchup, they got Henderson involved. There he was healthy against the 49ers. Second matchup was Michel. Will they go with a third back in a third game is something we're going to look at as well. But, yeah, Bucks disappointment there. A lot of question marks. Rams, not many question marks. They're all in. Sean McVay, Stafford Cup, and a big chance to return to the Super Bowl here. A few years ago, they did lose to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Now they beat Tom Brady, maybe on the path to another Super Bowl. The 49ers will have something to say about that. Now, we have one game to break down, last but not least. That is your Bills-Chiefs crazy affair, won by Kansas City at home, 42-36 in overtime. So these games were good, but that game, folks, was better and maybe better than any game that we've seen in NFL playoff history. Hey, fantasy football fans, this is Vinny Iyer with an incredible app. Everyone who buys gas needs to know about it. It's called GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or the Google Play right now. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN and get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back in your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card, or Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN. That's the promo code TOUCHDOWN. At GetUpside again. The promo code is TOUCHDOWN for that 50 cents per gallon bonus cash back on your first tank, only at GetUpside. All right, time to close the show, breaking down the doozy between the Bills and the Chiefs. I'm really sad to see the Bills leave the playoffs. They were so exciting to watch here in two games. Somehow, Josh Allen threw 9 touchdown passes. He ran all over the place in two games against the Patriots and the Chiefs, yet he's home for championship weekend. That's just sad. Well, the Bills' defense didn't come through, and that was the issue here. I wrote about it at Sporting News. Just a lot of fundamental breakdowns. They decided to play two deep, soft shell. Patrick Mahomes just ripped it. He didn't sit there and force the throws downfield. There's a lot of chunks open, and Mahomes just delivered. So let's focus on the Bills here first. They go into the offseason. Josh Allen's a stud. He's making a case to be the number one quarterback, and really a first-round pick even in fantasy. Just given the running upside, he's kind of taking over where Lamar Jackson was, these running quarterbacks. I mean, he is a running quarterback. On top of what he does, passing, I mean, he just has been a running machine here, complimenting Devin Singletary, going in the 1-2 punch area. And the passing, what can you say? He's buying time, making plays downfield. He was laser-focused here. The guy that we're going to love in fantasy football next year, he gave us a big hint of what he's going to do, is Gabriel Davis. What a game for Gabriel Davis. 4 touchdowns. So remember, we liked him at that price point to do some damage here against the Chiefs. Stephon Diggs also was appealing, but Diggs was quiet. They needed Davis to step up. The Chiefs' secondary started having some injuries. Tyrann Mathieu at safety was hurt first, then Chavarius Ward. And the Bills just went nuts looking at Gabriel Davis. They schemed him open. Remember, he's been red hot for a while now as a touchdown maker, but here he showed some big playability, why they drafted him out of UCF. Can stretch the field, big target here. So much for Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley pretty much, I think, is done as a Bill. He just looks washed here as a slot receiver. Emmanuel Sanders also slowing down, had some knee injury issues. So Diggs and Davis, folks, welcome to the Bills' new passing game on the outside. These two guys are going to be around, as well as Dawson Knox. Pretty core group here. Knox and Davis still pretty young players here, so excited about what they can do with Josh Allen. So Allen definitely has an argument there to be taken in the first round, even in the top 10. That's how special Allen was in carrying his team. And I don't think the Bills are going to relent from this. The only question mark we have is Brian Daboll leaving. Will the Bills have a nice transition at offense coordinator if that happens? So those are the questions. But the talent on the paper here, it looks really good. The receivers are there. The tight end is there. The running game is now there with Devin Singletary as a clear-cut answer. He looks like a very valuable RB1, RB2 borderline for next year. They're not going to have to draft a running back now, but pretty much Zach Moss and Matt Breida are moving out of the picture. Breida is a free agent. So, yeah, excited about what's next for Josh Allen in fantasy. Unfortunate end for them in reality, but this offense, there's no stopping it if Josh Allen is playing at a high level. We've seen that for the last two seasons because, again, he's a hoss when you're trying to tackle him. He buys time. He can buy time to throw the ball big time downfield for big chunk games, or he's going to scramble and make big plays and rack up the rushing yards and can always be a threat to score there. So Allen has become a freight train. Remember we had Cam Newton and what he did in 2015 there for the Panthers? This is a whole different type of level of quarterback where he's just a freight train. It's not just he's scoring touchdowns if needed. That's the one difference between him and Newton. They don't use him as the pure red zone back, but again, there's a lot of things that I love about Josh Allen, and they'll continue to be there in fantasy football. So, gushed about Josh Allen. We got to talk about Patrick Mahomes in this one. Wow. Another big game for Patrick Mahomes there. Massive completions, 76% in the playoffs. He's just on fire. Then he's the leading rusher for the Chiefs. So he pulled out his Josh Allen as well. So Mahomes and Allen battling there for the top quarterback on the board. I don't think there's anyone else even in the conversation there 2022 in fantasy. We loved it. That Tyreek Hill woke up and did his damage. Big plays all over the field. The Bills could not handle him. Gave up the long touchdown late as they were trading it with Davis's last two touchdowns among his four. And Travis Kelce scores the game winner. So Kelce and Hill, the old reliables here for Mahomes, come through. Now, there are some question marks. Is this it for Travis Kelce in terms of reaching his peak? Is it going to be downhill? But I think he's in great shape. I don't think there's going to be a drop-off yet. So I think I'm giving him at least one more year with production there. Tyreek Hill not slowing down at all. Remember, there was a bit of talk pregame because he's had some quiet games. Is Tyreek Hill more of a decoy? Has he slowed down? I think he had a resounding answer there against the Bills. So Hill and Kelce, the principles came through. But Mecole Hardman, we've been wondering about the Chiefs' second receiver there. I mean, it's been kind of by committee again with Byron Pringle and Hardman there. Now, I do have the Chiefs maybe thinking about wide receiver, but I think they would go maybe more defense now if they've got some versatility there with Pringle and Hardman. And they don't really need much. I mean, if Kelce is still locked under contract and playing at a high level, Hill is not slowing down. They like where it's at. I mean, why would you mess with it? You've been to three straight Super Bowls here. You have a chance to win second in 2 years. So, again, Chiefs, the biggest question mark is, like, figuring out this backfield. You look at Darrell Williams. He didn't play with a toe injury. Yet Jerick McKinnon, we knew as the hot hand that he was the easy play here in this game. Came through big time from scrimmage here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had his moments, too. But you look at what you saw from McKinnon. He might be a fixture in this offense. Again, he's got that Brian Westbrook feel there for Andy Reid in that versatility. Get him out in open space. He did have a couple questionable plays there. We missed a short couple targets there from Mahomes. But overall, I do like McKinnon maybe having a bigger role. We've seen this before, though. Damien Williams, he kind of faded the next year. They went out and got Edwards-Helaire. So I think this is more an indictment on Edwards-Helaire. He came back from the shoulder injury. But McKinnon, they still felt about giving him the key touches in this one. So we'll see how it goes. I would think they would stick with McKinnon being the hot hand with his production there. Just shoots out of a cannon. He's the kind of back that they like. He adds a little bit more speed and quickness element. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think the irony is they drafted him to be a receiver, but they see him more as a power back. I mean, Darrell Williams was the third down and passing down back before. McKinnon certainly took over like that. I mean, that's what his role was with Minnesota when healthy and what his role was going to be with San Francisco. So Chiefs are just extending towards that. But Hardman, it was good to see him shoot out of cannon and score a touchdown and being kind of an ersatz version of Hill in this game. And really, the tight ends, I mean, they have some good potential there should Kelce get a little bit older in age. I really like Noah Gray. They're the kid out of Duke they drafted. A little bit of Blake Bell as well in this game. So very interesting there with the Chiefs and their kind of diversity in the offense. It kind of almost cost them. They got a little too cute there. But I think going forward, just getting Hill and Kelce back as principal big-time playmakers was huge for Mahomes because that didn't even happen to a big level last week against the Steelers. But 400 yards last week, nearly another 400 yards this week. But Mahomes is back, and he had every answer. And Allen was on point. And ridiculous game where no turnovers by these teams. The quarterbacks were their team's leading rushers. They were just two individuals putting on a show here, kind of like a golf match. Just match play here between Mahomes and Allen, and they just showed us why that they're the two best quarterbacks in the AFC. So, yeah, looking at these situations, I mean, Brady and Rodgers were going to be kind of buyer beware where we go quarterback. I think Mahomes and Allen, no doubt, these are the two on the board for fantasy football. But Joe Burrow getting a lot of steam as a surefire first-round pick. Matthew Stafford fully expected to stay with the Rams. He's an easy QB1 as well. So on the higher end, you have Mahomes and Allen. Not too far behind them, you have Burrow and Stafford. And with numbers they put up in 2021 regular season, that's warranted here. And running back, a little bit in flux with the Buccaneers. The Bills have found their guy in Singletary. The Packers are still in the Jones-Dillon range. Titans, we'll see if Derrick Henry starts to wear down after this major foot injury, so something to watch there. Wide receivers, A.J. Brown, Devonta Adams, probably not going anywhere for a while. Bucks got to address their situation. And the Bills, I think, are set here with Gabriel Davis there as their number two. With Diggs at tight end, I mean, the Packers might need to think about addressing that more with Tonyan and make sure he's locked up. Josiah DeGuara didn't do enough there. The Titans, again, they can't go forward with Anthony Firkser and Jeff Swaim and limited returns there. Bucks have to wait on Gronk. And with the Bills, Dawson Knox here to stay as a starting fantasy football asset in 2021. All right, there's a breakdown here of Roundup Monday and what we saw there on the field. There, tomorrow we'll break down some things in depth here. We'll look at some of the things that are developing in my latest mock draft for Sporting News. So we'll take a little bit of a departure from our breakdown of games, then we'll go right back to that matchup Wednesday, matchup Thursday. So we're going to be with you all season off season long here. All season still to go here with three games left through Super Bowl 56, but we'll bring it all the time, 5 days a week, most of the year there with draft and free agency coming up. We'll be right here for you, breaking that down from a fantasy football and a bit of a reality perspective here. Unique show that we like to call Locked On Fantasy Football. Now, make your second listen, Locked On Bets. It is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from gambling expert Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. For Locked On Fantasy Football, for Roundup Monday, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll catch you tomorrow looking at my latest mock draft there at SportingNews.com and breaking it down for you fantasy football-wise.